Welcome back, everybody, to Therapy Thursday, our little mini episodes, a little midweek episode for everybody. Kicking us off this week, Shot, what do you want to talk about?
Thanks, Matt. Hope you've had a good week.
Mine hasn't pretty good
been
so
too
far.
Bad either. That's good, man. That's good. Mine hasn't been too bad either. You know, I didn't have like any big and anxiety-inducing stuff this week. But I did have a long week. Work has just been kind of crazy. I was doing a certification for something. So just had very long days in the beginning of the week. And so I think it was like a Wednesday. And like my Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday had been like very early mornings, working for like 11 hours, 12 hours, like work and other stuff I was doing. And then just like sleeping late. So I wasn't getting all my sleep. But man, Wednesday, I was not feeling it. Like, I was having like mild anxiety just because of being so tired. And so like, I was like, you know, I was like in my mind, I was like, why am I so tired? Like, what's wrong with me? Am I getting sick? Like, did I catch the Rona? Like, what is going on? Why do I feel so weak? But, just that things weren't working out. And like, I wanted to work out because like, I hadn't worked out all week. So I was like, I need to get my workouts in, but I was so busy and like so tired that I couldn't do it. So then I decided to take a nap, and I took like a 1 hour nap on Wednesday after I was done with my work. And I woke up from my nap, and man, I felt like a whole new person. Like, just no more tiredness. My anxiety had gone away at that point. You know, like I was feeling so good. And then I slept a little bit earlier that night. And like Thursday, I wasn't as busy. I still had to wake up early, but like, you know, it wasn't as much going on. So like I could take it a little bit slower. I didn't have to exert myself so much. And I also got to walk my dog on Thursday, which I hadn't been able to do in a couple of days. So then I felt so much better. So that was my mini anxiety of the week, but you know it is important, and sometimes even I forget that like taking breaks and like paying attention to getting the rest you need is so important to, you know, your mental health and just your well-being in general. Like running off 5-6 hours of sleep and then having a full day packed with so much crap going on just isn't good for your body, but it's also just not good for your mind. Your thoughts just start going everywhere, especially, you know, today, like we've talked about so many times with the pandemic, with we had wildfires here, so it's been smoky this whole time, and we haven't really been able to go out and stuff, and, you know, the media just reporting all of these different things, and you know, recently RBG died, and like that's been sitting heavy on my mind. It's like, what's gonna happen with the Supreme Court? So much going on. You know, just that little bit of tiredness or that little bit can you know, cause so much anxiety and cause so many problems.
Yeah, you know, you gotta go and be productive. You have all these things working on, you know, and then if you're stressed out, you can't sleep as much, you know, you don't get as good of sleep, and then you're just tired throughout the day. And I think it's so hard for us to take that time to sleep. So it's good that you took a nap, and then, you know, like you said, you feel like a different person, right? There's been so many times when I'm stressed out and anxious about something, and, you know, you're really tired because your body's like in fight or flight all day. And you're like, oh, let me just go take like a 20, 30 minute nap, an hour nap, whatever. And you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, well let me just go knock out all these tasks that I had to do, right? Sleep is probably like one of the most important things you can do, especially like you said, if you're only getting 5 or 6 hours, your body's already kind of like in low gear. And now you're like, oh, well, now we have all this crap we got to do today. And then, you know, what do most people do, right? They drink more coffee, which can increase anxiety. They do all these extra things, right? And then it's just like, you're just trying to get to that level of performance that you expect. And then you're like, I'll recover on the weekend, you know, which is nice now, because at least in the pandemic, weekends, mostly people aren't doing anything. For a lot of people before, weekends were actually more stressful, because it's like, oh, we're going to go drive 6 hours to the mountains and go snowboard for 20 minutes, and then we're going to drive back home.
No, that's very true.
Yeah. So that's it's really good. I mean, it, you know, even like minor minor anxieties, like minor aches and pains are still aches and pains, you know, and they may not take like a giant effort to help it, but they still need to be helped, right? You know, you don't want them to build into like some crazy level of anxiety 3 weeks down the road, and then your dog's not being walked, and you know.
No, I completely agree. And it's funny because for the first time in like probably months, I needed coffee. Like it was to that point where like I was so tired during my day. I think it was probably on Wednesday at that point. I just had so much going on that like I texted my wife who's downstairs working. And I was like, can you please make me coffee and bring some up? Because like I'm struggling here. But yeah, so that was me this week. How about you, Matt? Do you have any anxiety this week?
Yeah, mine's kind of for other people. You know, other people, what's going on in their lives will affect me. Particularly like my dad, my mom was talking to me about some of his blood work and some of his like levels, and there's things that I don't understand, right? She starts just spouting off like, well, his blah 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 number was high, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. But it sounds bad. And it just kind of, you know, made me think about other people and other people's health. And, you know, obviously, like, you want everybody to be happy and healthy and, you know, to, like, take advice when you give it to them. But I understand how hard that is because, you know, like, I know I should exercise more, right? And, like, right now I'm a little bit injured, but it's like, I know I should still do those things, and those things can still be hard to do unless you have like the routine and the discipline built into it, right? So for me, it was just like I was kind of worried, thinking like, you know, yeah, like my dad's health isn't great right now, but it's also we're in the middle of a pandemic, and like I don't want to, you know, go see him and potentially bring something to him, and you know his outcome would be pretty negative based on all of his, you know, pre-existing conditions. If he were to catch COVID, at least like on paper, right? Who knows? He could just completely survive it and have no symptoms. Who the fuck knows this thing? But yeah, I was just worried about, you know, hearing about all these numbers and things and thinking to myself like, okay, well, you know, like what can I do? And, you know, you can only help somebody so much. They really need to make the change themselves. But it's just tough when it's like, I can't force him to eat better or to change his diet or to have him exercise more, right? Because I'm not there, right? If I lived with him, it'd be different. Well, I mean, I could at least be a good example.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do, right? Because I've run into the same thing too with like my uncle, for instance, and he's a lifelong smoker, and you know he doesn't take as much care of himself as he should and exercise and do stuff. So you know, I've run into the same thing where like I've tried talking to him and like tried suggesting stuff, and like I used to on a weekly just like send him articles about how bad smoking is or like how important exercise is or whatever it was, or just talking to him about it. But it's like at a certain point, like it has to be something that the person has to want to do in order for you to be able to help them too. And even though like my uncle said he wanted to quit smoking a couple times and like all this stuff, like it just didn't happen because maybe he just didn't want it bad enough or whatever it was. And no matter how much any of us tried to help, it has to come from like inside you. And you have to be willing to make the changes and willing to accept help from others, to be able to, you know, to make those changes and to get better or whatever it is.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to anxiety, right? Like I remember even for myself, right, when I was having like really crippling anxiety, I'm like, well, I want to do better, but then, you know, I wasn't like going for walks or eating right. It was just like, oh, let me just order pizza every night because I don't have the energy to do anything, kind of deal, right? And like, you know, eventually I was able to work myself out of that and slowly do it with like meditation and like slowly start exercising more, right? Diet, sleep, meds, like all the things we talked about, and some supplements to help like calm me down. But you know, it's just like I was like, I need to do this. And then at some point it's like, I'm the only one that can control this. I know it's up to me, right? It's like, it's my brain, it's my body. I need to be in charge. And when I finally like took charge of it and I was like, this is now my mission to make myself better, then I started getting better and started improving for those reasons. So it's just tough when, you know, somebody else is there, and like, I don't have all the information about which numbers are bad and good, and I don't have all the information about what's he's eating and all these things. And it's just like, you know, when it comes to your own health anxiety that we've talked about, it's already scary enough, right? Like, everything's cancer, everything's bad. And then when it comes to the health of somebody else that you love, and you're like, well, shit, what can I do or say to, like, what argument can I, you know, create to convince him to change?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is hard convincing anyone to change anything. But I don't know, I guess all we can do, right, is what we're doing, spread awareness, give information, and hope that people recognize that, you know, everything is within their power, and that they can at any point stop being reliant on whatever it is, whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, whether it's overeating, whether it's eating bad, whether it's not exercising. You know, everything we can do is within our power to an extent, right? Unless you're physically unable to do certain things, like you know, you have an injury and you actually can't work out in a certain way or whatever it is. But
right, and at that point, even then, you should rest and recover, right? You want to get better.
Oh, for sure, you should rest and recover. But even then, you know, there's people that, like, I've seen videos of, like, you know, people that don't have legs that are, like, these big bodybuilders. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, if you put your mind to it, you can do it.
Yeah, so something that reminds me of with the smoking part was there was a book that I heard about, like, on a podcast, and the author says that one of the reasons that quitting smoking is hard is because we keep telling people that it's hard. So because we tell everybody quitting smoking is hard, or dieting is hard, or exercising is hard, all these things are hard, that, like, lifestyle changes are hard to do, that if you fail, you're like, well, it's hard, right?
Right.
And it either contributes, like, negatively, be like, ah, I'm weak, I should be a stronger person, or it's like, oh, well, it's so hard to do that I can't make all those changes, so therefore I'm not at any fault because it's hard. Whereas if they just said, like, you know, quitting smoking is easy, right? You just, you know, today you make a choice not to have it, and the next day make a choice not to have it, kind of deal. And that's, like, what they talk about, I guess, in this book. And it was really interesting because it's, like, kind of the same thing with anything. It's like, just do a small step today, and you know, just make that little choice in the moment, and that's what'll lead to greater outcomes in the future.
But no, I mean, that does make a lot of sense, right? Calling something hard makes it seem that it is hard. You're sort of putting the expectation that it's going to be hard
already. Right. If you say meditating 10 minutes a day is hard, it's impossible to do, then people will think, well, I'm not going to meditate because it's hard to do.
But or they're it's only 10 minutes. And then, they get to 5 minutes and they're like, oh, like, from this point on, it's going to get so much harder. And then they just stop or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's all good points. And again, all we can do is, you know, give them information, do what's within our power, right? Like, spread awareness, give them information, and hope that they take the next step themselves.
Yep, exactly. And that's what we're trying to do everywhere in our daily lives. And hopefully it helps somebody, you know, improve and makes their life and day better.